And if you now turn to the book of Romans, just read a couple of verses with you there, and then we'll turn to this to look at them in detail. So Romans chapter 16, come to the benediction, the blessing with which this whole book concludes. So let's hear Paul's final words to his friends in the church in Rome. And this is God's word, maybe a blessing for us in our lives today as well. So he says in conclusion, after all the things he's written, he says, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Glorious words. And these are words I believe that God would speak over your life and over our life today. And when he does so, he will build real blessing into our lives. We all like the thought of having somewhere safe to live in, to dwell in. A solid house, a place that just everything works. It gives you shelter from the weather out there, the AC working well, the roof not leaking, paying the bills. Somewhere where you can be blessed, your children can be blessed, friends can be blessed as they spend time there. And that's really what we're seeing promised in these words. That God wants to build us a home, to have us established. Just like you'd establish a physical home with foundations and a roof and a place that's safe. He is wanting to create a state of being, a way of viewing the whole of life that expresses the blessing of God. And everything that's packed into the 16 chapters of this phenomenal book of Romans is an invitation for us to live in that truth, to live in it in order to be blessed by it. For only as you obey what you hear in these words can this blessing of God come upon us in life. And as like that parable that Jesus told, there is such a challenge because there's so many options out there of how to build your life and what to build your life upon on, which he reduces down to two simple choices. You can either build on sand, something that changes and moves, or you can build on rock. This today is a benediction, the house of blessing, to build your life upon rock. Someone who will not ever change. Someone that you build upon them in your life, that even the storms of death, when they sweep through us, will not shake you loose. And how pertinent to remember that from 9/11. When you remember almost 3,000 people being taken from your nation. In the face of things like that, here is an invitation to build a house of blessing that even death cannot sweep away, because it's the blessing of none other than the Almighty, all-powerful, living God. And there's nothing, nothing that he cannot do. So look at the builder of the house. Ask the question, who can live in the house? And what is it like to live in the house? Look at the builder. We've already mentioned him as God. Now, if you're building, let's say your dream home here in Tampa, as you drive around, there's a lot of dream homes out there, isn't there? Beautiful homes. If you're building it from scratch, though, you would want to get the best builder that you could get, someone that you could really trust. They knew what they would do, be doing. They would be dependable. They would turn up. They would coordinate all the tradesmen. They would be able to tick all the boxes for all the paperwork and all the checks that would have to be done. So much would depend upon that builder if your house was really going to be built well. And what Paul is saying here, that if you follow Christ, every day you walk with Christ, something more important, more substantial than your dream home is being constructed so that it could be a home of real blessing to you and to those that you love. And so as you would look for somebody who's able to construct your physical dream home, Paul is saying, here is God who is what? Verse 25, now to him who is able. He is able to establish you, like you would establish and build a house to live in, but to establish you in accordance with the gospel. And that word able is the word that we get our word dynamo from. Dynamo. Power. That's what it means. God is powerful enough to establish your whole life. The life of those that you love. To construct something that will protect them even through all the storms of this life and even the ultimate storm of death. That's the power that you get in contact when you become a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. The omnipotent, all-powerful God will now be working in your life. And that's how Paul wants to conclude this whole message. He is able. Everything he's talked about, the whole packet of salvation, how to take men, women, and children from being far away from God and bring them home, he is able. And he'll establish you. The thought here is whatever it will take to establish you and make you strong as a follower of Jesus Christ, God can do that. And that word, establish, it's some of the writers in the Bible say it's almost like a technical term for nurturing new converts and strengthening young churches. That's when it's used. Paul uses it in several places in other letters when he talks about making Christians firm, strong, stable, whether it's in their faith against error, in their holiness, their lifestyle against temptations, or in their courage against persecutions. In all three areas, Paul uses this word, establish. God knows how to establish his children against the storm. In the parable that Jesus told, did the wise or the foolish man know the storm was coming? Sometimes we read the weather, don't we? We look in the clouds in Tampa and we see that darkness coming. He says, right, time to run. If you're near a golf course, you'll hear the little siren wailing. And you know, get off the golf course. Weather's coming. But not everything in your life is that obvious. What will come your way? Not obvious to you, unseen to you, but completely seen to God. And so it's saying he knows how to protect you. What is there in your life today that threatens you? What could there be in your life tomorrow? What is there in your own heart that threatens you and your walk with God? Your sin, your moral and spiritual weaknesses, the things that distract us so easily in life, they all kind of come like cracks in the wall of a home after an earthquake or the damage done by a hurricane. But he is saying Christ is able to build something that will withstand all of that. You're not able, I'm not able, but he is able. And he is willing. The invitation is to build on rock. And what's the result? a strong foundation, touching rock in the parable, a true home to live in. For if the home is strong, then it really doesn't matter what else you may face out there. While if your home life is broken or divided, you will often find the rest of your life, even if it's going well, a real challenge. But if Christ is your home, if he's constantly building and constructing in your life, then even if your actual physical home life was a mess or is a mess, what Christ does is he gives you a power that's not your own, a strength to touch rock and to strengthen you so that you can endure until he may resolve the problems even there. This works. Following Christ will change anybody's life. That's why it comes at the end of the letter. That's why it's a benediction, because you're building on rock. He is able. So, second, a question. Who can live in this house that Christ has built? In this day, in the New Testament day, the Jewish people thought that it was just them. They really thought that they were like living in a gated community until Jesus came along and he handed out the gate code to absolutely anybody. And suddenly, anybody can get in to this gated community. See, this is what Christ has come to do. The secret is quite literally out of the box. God has always intended that he wanted everybody from all nations, tribes, and backgrounds to come into his home. And that's what it's talking about when Paul says, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past. What was this mystery? It wasn't an Agatha Christie whodunit. It was this idea that God always intended to open the doors wide to all people, not just the Jewish people. And there were clues about that mystery. This is where it is like a whodunit. There are clues scattered across the Old Testament. Just flip your page over in the Bible back to chapter 15, and there's four quotes or so from the Old Testament about the Gentiles coming in to God's house too. The Gentiles include all the people in Tampa. They include you, they include me, they can include anybody you ever meet in your life. You have no idea who could come into that house, because the bottom line is God has passed out the code for free. It's not ethnicity, being Jewish or otherwise. It's not religious background about being born into the right faith in the right time that gives us entrance into God's house. It's not because you can sing Born in the USA. It's not what Springsteen was talking about. It's whether you're born again through faith in Christ. Then the gate pass is open. The gated community is wide open. And there are many mansions, enough for all. It's wide open. If you were to imagine this house that Christ is building, there'd be four walls, and on each wall there'd be these big French windows. You know, the doors that open up. One in the north, one in the east, one in the west, one in the south. News. All directions. People from any and all background can now come. That's what made Paul so excited, that he just exploded with his words of blessing of what Jesus was doing. How much is that really good news? Anybody can come. anybody can now live in a place where they're safe forever. Forever. For many people, that's almost too good to be true. For many people think that God, he'll have no place for them, no use for them, because they've failed in some way. They're too late. They've lived life so long without God that they know that their life is soiled, it's dirty. They would be embarrassed about you finding out things about their life, let alone having to talk to God about those things. And so somebody here, somebody listening, you might think, well, that's just me. It's too late for me. But sorry, no, these words of blessing can be spoken over you today. You might feel like that. You may indeed be soiled, dirty, with a long history that is really quite shameful. But you are welcome today because of the love of this Christ who literally bled and died to open the doors for anyone to come. So no matter what you are, what you have done, I can honestly say if you will come to Christ, if you will turn away from that life and follow him, the door is open. Come to him. And I want to aim this now at those of you who are Christians. I don't want you to forget this news, the north, east, west, south, that the door is wide open. Because here's the reality of it. You and I, we mess up time and time and time again, don't we? We just keep hashing it as believers to the point you're sick with yourself and you think that Christ must be sick with you, that God must be fed up with you. Do you ever think like that? Yeah, of course you do. And you think, you listen to the lie that's whispered in your ear in that moment of darkness. It's game over for you, Chris. You don't love yourself. So you ask the question, how can God love me? But the doors are still open. Amen. He would have you despite the fact that really your sins as a Christian in some ways are worse than your sins as a non-Christian, because now you're sinning in the knowledge, sinning in the light. But he said no. When he hands out this pass, when he gives you the gate code, he's not going to change it in secret so you can't get back in. It's yours forever. And it's the certainty of that that will change you more than anything else, that will lead to the most profound changes in your character and being, because it's this wide open invitation to your Father's house every single day. So don't put yourself out of the house. Don't say, because I've sinned, I've messed up, because Satan's telling you, or other people are telling you, that you listen to that. No, you listen to God today. If you're a follower of Christ, nothing in heaven or hell can separate you from that. And as that truth is in your bones like a fire, it will change you. So let it change you. Remember here what it says here. This openness, this mystery that's been revealed, made through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, he says. The command of God in verse 26. The express command. God said to Jesus, here's the gate code. Give it to her. Give it to him. Give it to them. Commanded by the one who had the authority to hand it out. Remember, he sent his son to find you. For those of you who are here, whenever we started Romans chapter 1, I don't even remember. A few years back now, I'm sure. Back in chapters 1 to 3, one of the Bible writers had a beautiful story that I shared with you about several sons of a king and how they were warned by the king, don't play near the river. Everywhere else you can play, play wherever you want, but don't play by the river. It's dangerous. The eldest son, he never played by the river, but the other four younger sons, they did. And one day they get swept away in that river, and they're taken far, far away from their father's house. And they're absolutely lost. There's no way they can get back up. They have no idea where they are. And then these brothers, as they're in this new land, one of them sees this tribe of people who are just really degenerate. Anything went, living in sin, disgusting lifestyles. He decides just to jump right in there with them. And he lives like they do. So the first brother, that's Romans chapter 1. And then the other brother sits on a hill. And he watches that first brother living in the gutter, doing what he likes with whoever he likes. And he's always pointing the finger. And he's never happier than when he's got the other brother saying, look what he's doing, it's disgusting. He's just the brother of Romans chapter 2, the religious person who thinks they're better than others. But Paul made the argument, they're just as bad as everybody else, because in their hearts they're doing the same thing. Do you remember the story now? And then the third brother and the fourth brother, they would meet up every night and they would talk stories about, you remember being at home with her father in her father's house? Do you remember how wonderful it was? And then one day, the youngest brother comes to the fireplace at night and his other brother isn't there. And he goes looking for him. And he discovers this brother is in the river and he's getting huge big stones and he's splashing them into the river, trying to build a causeway all the way up this river, in the hope that he could work hard enough, he'd get back home to his father's house. And that's those of us who think we can be good enough, try hard enough, and we'll earn our way back to the father's love. Not going to happen. And then one night, as the young brother is there at the campfire, all by himself, the eldest brother, who was never lost, comes in, finds him. That's Jesus. Shows him the way home. Why was he there? Because the Father commanded him. And he wanted to come too. You see, the Father has given a command to Jesus that he willingly obeyed to find you. Paul said, this is my gospel. Did you notice that? In accordance with my gospel. This is how you know that you're on the inside of this home, that you can have access to the gate code. When you can say, this is my Savior. Not just Jesus is the Savior. There's a world of difference between saying the and my. The Savior, true. My Savior, which is it? Can you say that? And so that all comes about out of obedience to the Father's command. Have you met that elder brother? Have you understood what he did on the cross so that you could be forgiven? That he bled and died to take the very justice of God and exhaust it in himself. Pay it to the fool that you could go free. And every day as a follower of Christ, you remember that. Every day. And you will stay in the house with him. What's it like if you live in the house? What's it like to follow Christ? He tells you there in verse 26 that this command of God is so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. The obedience that comes from faith. Believe and obey. With all the events of this week, you'll not be surprised, and you'll forgive me if I make an allusion to Her Majesty the Queen and her death. And it's filling our screens and all the rest of it, but there was a very powerful moment when the new king, Charles III, that every member of the parliament this week stood, either with a Bible or another religious book, or if they were atheists, no book at all, but to take a public vow of loyalty to the new king, saying, we serve this king, therefore we have to obey the king. When people are sworn into Congress, Senate, it might not be to a king, but there'll be a pledge and a promise of obedience as well. It was a very powerful moment. See, you can't be in a palace without obedience. It's the nature of majesty that you obey. You glorify, magnify, and obey a king. That is what Paul sees as the lifestyle of those who live in the house. You see, it's the palace of a king. And when you live in a palace, when before you were a beggar living in a gutter, gratitude leads to obedience. You get the gate code for free. You don't earn it. You can't build a path all the way up that river back home. You get in for free. But the sheer gratitude creates such love. So glad when we sang those words about how we love Christ today. Because Jesus says this to us, if you love me, what will you do? You will obey my commands. In the land of freedom, which is what America adores so much, rules might get a hard time. But rules aren't so bad, are they? We do need some rules. Can you imagine? Well, it's not too hard to imagine this. Driving in Tampa without rules. What's the benefit of rules when it comes to driving in Tampa? If they obey them, it should be a little bit safer than it normally is. Rules give life. They protect life. They allow you to flourish. So Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commands. Try driving without rules, and you'll discover what it's like. And so Jesus says to us in John 14, in verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I, too, will love him and show myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him or her and make our home with her, with him. Love him, obey him. What happens? He makes his home in here. After all this, the gate code was for here, that he would dwell in here. And if you've got the living God by his Spirit dwelling in you, then any blessing is possible. Whatever your life needs, not wants, but needs. That's what he's promising in these words. And how should you respond to that? Yes, obedience. Yes, with a message to share this Because it does say there, this is now for all nations, verse 26 at the end there. There's a task that together we're called to accomplish, to share this great news with anyone who will listen, to all nations. As Jesus said, go to the ends of the earth. But you know the beauty of it now is you just have to go to the ends of the earth, you just have to go around the corner in Tampa. And the ends of the earth have come to Tampa. You just have to go down to Temple Terrace. 25% of the population are Muslim as a gift to the Church of Jesus. Because it's a whole lot easier than going to a country where they might cut your head off for talking about Jesus. That's part of our mission. That's part of our obedience. And over this house, this palace, this doorway, as we enter in through Christ, the final words there are so appropriate. There's a banner that says, glory. Verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. We glory what we place value upon. You might glory about your kids do in football or in school with their achievements. You'll talk about their achievements. You might glory in your career and be happy to talk about that. You may glory in your football team, your wardrobe, your connections, whatever it is that you place value on, you talk about it. That is, you glorify it. To glory means let God shine. Let his characteristics, all the perfections of his character, shine. It's to talk of these things and what he's done and what they reveal about him. It is to point people to worship, not as an option, but as an obligation, because they were made by God, sustained every second of their existence purely by his mercy, and provided with an invitation to come home through what Christ has done. This is unique. He's the only God. There is none other like him. And there is no other way to him, for he alone has built the road back to his home. Only Christ knows that road, and only Christ can lead a soul home to God. And it is to the one who is described here as the all-wise, the only wise God. And any good parent here, your job is to do what? To pass wisdom on to your children. Not just teaching them facts, but teaching them wisdom about life's choices and decisions. And that is modeled upon the perfect fatherhood of God, who always stands ready to share his wisdom with his children. But often, as with our own children, we may be more willing to share than they may be willing to listen, but don't be like that with God. He teaches us, he trains us in all of the ups and downs of life. Not one of them is somehow extra, somehow unnecessary. No, no. Everything. He's all powerful. So everything is embraced in his power to bless. The hardest moments as well as the best moments. Every stage of your life is God making you wiser in new ways. Friends, this power that can establish you with a life like living in a blessing, it's here today. See this glimpse of it here. The Spirit is here to bring that blessing upon you now. So as we just close in prayer in this second, take these words, take one particular part, whichever is most spoken to you this morning, and take it into prayer now. It says, Lord, how I need you. Lord, how I need your blessing here. I need your blessing there. But how I need you. And he who is able to establish you can do that today. Amen? So let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we thank you that we can now come into your very presence through Christ. Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. We come just as your children. We don't come claiming any merits or rights of our own, but something infinitely better, the merit and the right of our elder brother, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come, and we've just heard that you are able. You're able to establish us wherever we need that most in our lives today. Holy Spirit, would you show us where we need that most in our lives today? Maybe we have the wrong ideas. Lord Jesus, we ask for your blessing. You're the only wise God. And there's any here who need wisdom for life, for choices, for decisions, give them that wisdom. Give it to us all through the events of life, and our experiences make us wiser. Father in heaven, would you bring everyone in this building today and those who are listening online, would you bring us all permanently into your home of blessing, that none of us would one day find the doors closed, but that we would all enter in now through Christ and following you wherever you lead, Lord. Hear us, we pray. Bless and establish us. Make us strong. Build us on rock. And then whatever the storms come, it will not matter. The house shall stand. Amen.